Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today is Dimitri Leyland.
Good to be here,
Dimitri.
Again.
Yeah. You're on the show. That must mean...
I think it's a release.
Something shipped.
Something shipped. Or a lot of things shipped, as usual.
A lot of things.
A lot of things.
Visual Studio 2015, .NET Framework 4.6, others. You have a beautiful slide that shows it all.
Beautiful slide.
I'm not going to pre-announce everything that's on your slide.
Well, hopefully folks will be following.
Although there's no news.
Today, by the time people see our video, there's no news. Hopefully they've seen the news already, and hopefully they've been following our previous releases that we've had. But it's finally RTM time. That's really
so everything
exciting.
Released, what day is it? Yesterday?
Yes. Physically speaking, when...
Yesterday.
Yes, today is
we're
Tuesday.
We're taping this on Tuesday, and we're going to publish it tomorrow, which will be Wednesday.
Yep.
We usually do these videos the day we release, but we decided to mix it up a little bit this time. Instead of, taking away from Soma and all the other great that people are on and the In the Code videos and whatnot, we decided to kind of do a little bit more of a wrap-up.
Either that or we were just busy.
And it was definitely the former.
Whatever he said was
planned.
Actually, this was completely planned, I agree.
Plus, yesterday was my birthday, and the idea
Happy
of working
birthday.
On my birthday just, I couldn't handle it.
So. I didn't know it was his birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And there's a new product out. So
yeah.
It's a momentous day all
around. It's gifts for your birthday. They showered you with releases.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're going to talk us through a little bit. And
let's
then
go.
What we're going to do is show some of our favorite features.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Because we do have to do some demos.
We'll do some demos.
Okay.
All
you
right.
Made such pretty slides.
Pretty slides.
We have to have them.
We have to have pretty slides. So we had a really exciting kind of lead up to this event. If we go over to the next one, we've had a year full of releases. I mean, we've been doing these episodes every time there's a major release with you and me together. And we had the biggest thing, which was our sort of RC releases at Build. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, had all the updates of Visual Studio. We had Visual Studio Code, lots of stuff in the cloud services space, Visual Studio Online. And today, we are finally RTM'd Update 5 for Visual Studio 2013. But the bigger news, of course, is really the next slide, which talks all about what are we so excited to say that it's finally RTM. And
should have a little bit of a...
A little oomph.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Visual Studio 2015 is finally RTM. I know folks have been really waiting to get their hands on these bits, and their bits are finally available. Along with it, we shipped .NET 4.6, ASP.NET 4.6, Azure SDK, and a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. If you hit next slide there, you'll see that there's as usual, a ton of releases, whether we're talking about things like F#, Python, Unity, Node.js tooling, a lot of things have RTM'd or have reached higher quality. I think
and the F# is not a release. That's a RTM.
Yeah, 4.0 RTM.
Yep.
Yeah. So everything and F# is in the box. We've got quite a bit here. We have the Android emulator, which is now available as a standalone, usable component if people want to use it without VS for some reason. So we made that available and really shipped all the languages and all the other graphics tooling, et cetera. This is a partial list, as usual. There's a lot of stuff. And the Visual Studio team blog does a really good job at kind of going through the details and summarizing.
.NET Framework blog, too.
Yeah, .NET Framework blog. I mean, yeah, there's specific blogs. I think VS does the nice sort of kind of overall umbrella. And the other blogs talk about the details. So
did you write that one?
Ton.
Is that why it's your favorite?
No, I definitely did not write that one. I give credit to lots of other people. I'm just a reviewer on some of these things. Guffrey had a good blog. I mean, just a lot of good things out there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at a couple of things that people need to know.
All right.
So we do have two things that I want to call out as part of this release. The first thing is Windows tooling. This has come up a lot. The Windows 10 tooling, it won't be out till next week. So you can install RTM on Windows 10 today. So if you have, let's say, Build 10.2.4.0 running on your machine, like I do, and you want to install RTM fully.
Or previous
fully
build, right?
Or previous build, yeah. You can install Visual Studio without issue. But you won't be able to build anymore for Windows 10. So if you had RC installed and you were building your Windows 10 app and you install RTM, you're going to be out of luck, right? So if you want to continue building your Windows 10 app, stay in RC till the 29th. I mean, it's not that long, next week. On that day, on the 29th, if you have VS 2015 RC installed, you'll have to upgrade to RTM. If you have RTM installed, you can just download the SDK, plugs right in. You don't have to reinstall Visual Studio and awesome. I've been watching Twitter. I spent a lot of time on Twitter over the last 24 hours. People are asking good questions, like, hey, will I have to reinstall Visual Studio RTM if I don't have, if I want to do Windows 10 dev on the 29th? No. Install it and we'll give you the add-on, the tooling add-on. There's also a lot of questions, can I install over a previous version of Visual Studio when I want to go to RTM, yes, you can. So if you have RC, if you're going the same edition to the same edition, mm-hmm. you can do that. So okay. people don't have to spend time, you know, an hour or more, you know, uninstalling, reinstalling. Right. We've all been there. It's a, it could be a fun experience. So those are the big
things. If you've built Windows 10 apps already and now you go to the RTM, there's some information you need to know. There's some pretty good blogs about that. But if you haven't even started, mm-hmm. then the best thing to do is just wait.
You can start with RC today. I mean, it's just a matter of how much time you want to spend installing and uninstalling certain things. There's basically, you know, the facts on the ground. It's up to you what you want to decide as a developer. Another thing that I wanted to note is around ASP.NET 5. This has come up in questions a lot as well. Mm-hmm. What is shipping with Visual Studio 2015? Because in the lead up, we've actually, I have to admit, we've been talking about ASP.NET 5, kind of the next version that's coming, really is tied to Visual Studio. But in reality, if you kind of look at how things are packaged up and delivered, we're building ASP.NET 5 as open source. It's being built in open on GitHub. It's all about NuGet packages and mm-hmm. a bunch of tooling experiences in VS. We are shipping beta 5 as part of Visual Studio 2015, so it's not production ready. We have published a roadmap, so the roadmap shows that in November we hope to hit RC1, which will be kind of a production-ready first release candidate release sometime in November. As folks can probably attest to this idea of roadmap, it's our best guess, so please don't kill us if things slip a little bit.
So RC1 kind of implies that there'll be multiple RCs. Can we expect that, or is that reading too much into that?
It's not unusual to have multiple RCs nowadays. Okay. Now, if they can avoid it, they will. They would love to get to RTM. I know that this November date is the hardest to predict because it's kind of far out enough. They're going to have a bunch of beta releases in between. So ASP.NET 5 certainly is ready to have you learn how to build websites with it, but it's really not something we'll support if you take it to production. So just wanted to make sure folks out there knew that distinction. Everything else, though, that we've talked about is either RTM, with the exception of node tooling, which is RC. Everything else has finally hit the RTM quality.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
So not too bad, just a couple of slides. And demos. I think you want to get to the demos.
So I do.
You're up, sir.
All righty. So we each picked five features that we wanted to highlight. These are five of our favorite features. So I'm going to go first. And the first thing I want to show is window layouts.
This is a cool one, yeah.
They are all cool. And these are in no particular order. I'm not going from my fifth favorite to my fourth and ending on my first. These are just...
Windows layout is not your favorite feature by far compared to any other feature. I'm a little disappointed.
You know what my favorite feature is? This one. The one where I can scroll up and down. Zoom.
You mean touch support in the code editor.
Touch support in the code editor, particularly the scrolling up and down.
Because yes,
in 2013,
nice.
I would do that, and you wind up highlighting text and then accidentally deleting it.
Yeah.
That is actually my all
that
my
is.
Biggest
so this
favorite
is your bonus
feature.
Favorite
this
feature
my
of
bonus
the day.
Favorite feature, and I just now moved it so I don't know where I was before. Ah, here I was. Okay. So I started with my bonus favorite feature. My tied for my next favorite features, I guess. First one is window layout. So I've got my lovely Surface Pro 3 here, and this is kind of the default layout with the Solution Explorer. I've got code here, and then I've got these windows collapsed here. But if I go to my desk, where I have a larger monitor, I want to be able to see more things. I've got more screen real estate, so maybe what I want is the Server Explorer to be pinned, and maybe, you know, the error list to be pinned, sort of like that, we'll say. And I want this, I want to be able to save this layout. So what I can do is go to Window and Save Window Layout. And I'll give it a name. Let's call it Work. Okay. Now when I'm at home, I have a smaller monitor, so I don't want this up necessarily, and I want this really small. So I'm going to save this window layout as Home. And then there are times when I just want all code. Yes, I can Shift, Control, Alt, or whatever the keyboard combination is. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do something like this, and I'm going to call this code. So now what I have, if we go to Apply Windows Layouts, is the ability to select these with the mouse or the keyboard shortcut. So Control Alt 1 brings me to my default layout. Ooh, that pops up right in the middle. Cool. And Control Alt 2 takes me to, I believe this is Work. Control Alt 3, which is Home. Control Alt 4, which is all
it
code.
Actually tells you in the bottom left which one it loaded. Yeah,
so
you
guys
can see. One of the real scenarios that I really like with this that I've already used a couple of times is the notion of the type of app more than the type of resolution, where you know, certain things I definitely care more about if I'm building a Windows Store or WPF app than if I'm doing web or Apache
Cordova. Yep.
Especially, you know, for us people that do a lot of demos, that's a lifesaver.
Yep. And it can be windows that appear, it can be size of windows, you can do it based on how many monitors you have, the type of monitor you have, what machine you're on, anything you want. So it's the window layouts. You can apply them, you can manage them, so you can delete, rename, and when you're done, you can reset the window layout and go back to the default if you change the default.
Yeah, and the fact that if you like them in your profile, it syncs across your machines means this stuff travels with you, so it's very cool.
Okay, so that's the first. The second is a debugging feature. So this application here is a WPF app. It's an expense report app. Talks to a WCF service. We've used it quite a bit, so if you've watched other videos that I'm in, you've seen this app before. But it's just a pretty straightforward app that shows expenses.
I'm pretty sure we had at least one Skype conversation over this. This particular piece of code here. I've my one positive contribution to your life probably in recent history, but
There's probably been more. So the app, when it starts up, shows your outstanding charges, okay? And that winds up in this variable charges. So here's what I'll typically do. I'll set a breakpoint here, and I want to be able to see what the charges are, right? Because I'm not necessarily seeing the ones I expect in the application. So I'll run this. All right, now I get to here. Let's get that out of the way. And so the first thing I do is I hover over this charges, and then I gotta click this here, and then I gotta go and click result, and I can see that there are four of them. Okay, but it doesn't tell me anything about them, and I can expand these, and I can sort of look through them like that. That's a bit of a pain. I could go into the watch window and add charges, right? There it is. And I can expand that. So this is a little bit easier to work with, but yeah,
that's how a lot of times I've done it, right? That's
process.
That kind of pinning used to be the best experience we had access
to. So what I wound up doing is stopping the app and right here in the code writing select statements, doing queries on charges. And then that code, of course, sits in there, and you got to remember to take it out. Well, now what I can do is I can come to the immediate window, and I could say charges. I can actually type in here, and I get IntelliSense. So charges result.count, and I can see right here that there are four charges. Okay, is there a way to get that bigger right now, or no?
You zoom it. Presenter tip for you.
So I can get the count, or what I could do is I could run a select statement, dot select, and then use a lambda in here. I can get the description. Okay, so there are the four descriptions, and I could put a where clause in here. So before the select, I want to know where. Again, we'll use a lambda. So where C dot build amount is greater than 100 dot select. So here's the description for anything greater than 100, and et cetera, et cetera. Now what I can in real time, I can run my queries. Of course, they get saved in the immediate window. I can copy them out if I want. What I can also do is put these into the watch window.
Now, you haven't said why this is cool, I don't think. I think you kind of went into your demo and you're showing how, but why should the people care out there? Why is this
all of a sudden
cool?
Why this is cool is because while I'm debugging, I can query this variable and see what's in it. I can do real-time, ad hoc, querying on it. Is it returning what I'm expecting? What is it returning? Without having to, you know, muck around with these things in the watch window, without having to add code into the application, which may or may not get deleted. This is the ability to explore what's going on in here in more of an ad hoc manner in real time.
Yeah, it's that sort of flexibility of being able to do all this and that you couldn't do before completely.
Right.
I mean, Lambdas just weren't supported, so that is huge. I love this feature. I don't know how many times I have tried to do this and used to get that error. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it's not supported. And you'd be like,
right.
Oh my God, the amount of work
supported.
I'm going to have to do. Finally supported.
Okay, so that's cool. So now, let's talk about testing. Right? Now, of course, we all test, you know, rigorously. We create unit tests and all that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Sure
of
we
course,
do.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Totally agreeing with you.
So this method here is called when you add a new charge, right? So you went and took a cab somewhere. You need to add that, record that. So I want to have some tests on this. I can right-click in this create new charge, and I can actually create unit tests. Let's actually get the Solution Explorer back. Oh, wait, I should use whatever keyboard shortcut that was, right? Control-Alt-2.
Work.
There we go. Work. Actually, I think I wanted a different one, but there's the Solution Explorer. So now I can right-click on this, and we have an option in here to create unit tests. So let's see what that does. That's going to create a new test project. Won't take too long. The anticipation and the excitement builds. And it just created a new test project, but it didn't actually write any tests for me. Which is fair enough.
It's where you used to be able to get to. But mm-hmm. all of a sudden, we have more.
Okay, fair enough. But it doesn't actually... This is useful, but not exactly what I was looking for. So I'm going to remove that. And there was another choice in here. If I right-click on this to create IntelliTest, there's also one called Run IntelliTest. So I'm going to run IntelliTest on this. And we'll see what happens. It builds. Now I get the IntelliTest Exploration Results window. And there are actually tests being run, and one of them failed.
Oh my God, but you didn't write these tests.
I didn't write these tests, but I ran them. So we're seeing that there's a target, new expense service, which is null, and then I get a null reference exception. Why is that?
Because you don't write very good code.
What else you got? What would be
it's a demo? Because it's
a
demo?
looking at the code, why is that?
Okay.
Because this method takes a charge, and somebody could pass a null charge, and my code doesn't handle that. So now this test, which I should have written myself, but mm-hmm. didn't, because apparently I'm not a very good developer, I should have tested for that. The IntelliTest will look through my code and run each of the different paths that this can go. What happens if somebody passes nothing for that parameter? Let's create a test for that. Oh, that fails. What happens if somebody does create a charge? And in this case, the charge has probably got a bunch of zeros. You can see charge ID is zero. So what happens if somebody passes a charge with nothing in it, etc.? So the IntelliTest will look at the various paths that my code can run through and actually create and then run tests for this.
Yeah, it's a very cool feature, and it's worth saying that it's in Visual Studio Enterprise. So if you don't have Enterprise, you don't have this feature, but we hope folks that find value in it. I mean, it's a great, great feature on a complex project.
Now, notice that there's no project in here. It didn't actually create a test project until I save this. If I save this now, and this is kind of important to remember, now that gets saved, and we can start looking at the tests that are created.
Yeah, and at this point, you could customize the test, right? Because what it creates doesn't necessarily do everything you want exactly. It gives you out-of-the-box experience, but it saves you so much time just getting to this point. I mean, just having the test that it creates, I find often, it is good enough, you know, to get going.
And if I look in the Test Explorer, there's nothing in there until I build. And now that I have built this, there's the test. Create new charge, throws null exception. I can run this, and then of course it will continue to fail because I haven't fixed the issue. So let's go into the code here, and let's say if charge is null, then now let's just return -1. Okay, because this is returning an integer. Okay, now save this. Now I've changed my code, does the test get updated? Right? So when does the test get updated? Well, let's just see. I'll build this. Oops. Okay. Run this test. Was it smart enough to automatically update my test? All right. So it's now this is passing because I'm now checking for this. So in each of the paths, I'm testing. Now if we go into the test in here, notice that there's now a couple different methods. Create new charge throws, create new charge. And at any point in time, what I can also do is go back to that code, not the test. I'm looking for the actual code. There it is. And I can create IntelliTest on this right now, or I can actually choose to run IntelliTest again. If I'm not sure if the tests have been updated, I can just run IntelliTest again, and it will update the test for me, and now they pass.
Very cool.
We're going to be doing an episode on this. I know this is a pretty high level, and I'm not doing justice into how it works. I'm going to actually tape an episode next week with one of the program managers on this team.
Cool.
So in a couple of weeks, we'll have an episode that goes into great detail on exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, IntelliTest to me is one of the coolest features. I mean, we all need to do more of this, more testing, and
yeah.
Gets rid of a lot of the excuses.
Okay, so now we're running this application, and I want to be able to explore the UI. Now, if I'm building a web application, I've got the DOM Explorer. I can explore the tree and the various elements. And we haven't been able to do that in XAML applications until yesterday. We now have the ability in Visual Studio 2015 to explore the tree in running XAML applications. And the way you get that is through the live visual tree and the live property windows, which are under debug. Took me a while to remember where these are. Debug windows. Here it is, live visual tree.
You can use the quick launch as well, right? So if you type visual tree or something, that should work.
Visual tree.
There you go.
Oh, I could do that too. Or visual properties.
I love the quick launch in the top right. It's probably one of the most underused features.
Visual,
sometimes you gotta know what
visual
to type.
Property. But sometimes you have to know what to
sometimes
type.
Sometimes you gotta know what
what's
to type.
What's it called?
What's it actually called?
Property Explorer.
There you go.
Okay.
If you type the wrong thing, it does its best. For example, clue.
Yeah.
It doesn't know what clue is.
Property. I'm actually a pretty good typer, but I have sometimes difficulty in this.
Don't you love it when you're like one letter off and you're like an hour later?
Okay, so now we have the live visual tree. We have the live property explorer. So here in my visual tree, I can take a look at all of the XAML that's in here. Very interesting. What I can also do is come up here to enable selection in the running application. Now watch what happens. Now, I get this red square and I can actually highlight something like view and it will show me in the visual tree.
Let's get all of this to fit on the screen.
This is such a nice feature when you're doing XAML that's complicated and
yep.
You have no clue where that label
so
came
here's
from.
The text block and then over here I can see what's actually in there.
Yeah, folks will say,
there
hey,
is
this
view.
Is almost like F12 command line tools now, right?
So I'm going to change that to C, and it actually updates in the application. All right, let's see that again. So I click charges here, and I say, oh, what I really want is for that to say outstanding charges. Come back into the application. This works obviously a lot better on a bigger monitor. I can make live changes to that. Okay, so now what that gives me the ability to do is not only play around with UI, but also make sure that this application performs correctly. So I'm looking at the amount, and I've got one for 200, and it doesn't seem like something bigger would fit. Right, so I'm going to click on this amount, and I'm going to come over to do, do, do. 200. Where is the actual value in there? Oh, Actually, what I want to do is, yeah, click the amount, set text box, and, all right, why am I not seeing the actual number? Do you know? I was practicing this before, and I was actually able to change this 200.
Not top of my head. As long as you get to the right element, you should be able to see it on the right.
Yeah. Oh, data grid cell.
Yeah, see, like there you can change the text from view.
Right, but I wanted to change the value. Is it in the row?
I forget already how the
data
grid stores it.
Yeah, I forget already. Oh, well. What I was doing before is changing the amount to like 20,000, 2,000, and seeing in real time that this was, that the column was resizing. All right, well, sorry about that. I wrote it down, I had practiced it, but it didn't work.
Alas.
Alas. Okay. Another thing that I can come in the visual tree is display layout adorners in the running application. So now I get to see, you know, what the borders are and how wide particular things are. And of course, what I can also do is make additional changes. So let's come up to the border and change the color to red. Okay. And come back into the application. Where'd it go? There it is. And actually, now you got to, in order to get the application to work, when you click, you got to turn off the adorners and turn off the selection. And now, when I click on the application, isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
It's kind of red, white, and blue.
Yeah, you're very patriotic today. It's a great feature. I've worked on a lot of XAML projects, and this is something that has existed in the community.
Yep.
There's been some projects out there, but now this is built
now
into
it's
VS.
Built in, and
it's huge.
Play around with it, practice a little bit more, figure out what you can do. But you can change text, colors, and there is a way to change the values. Sorry that I didn't get that working. All right, so my number five is, we go into new project, we have Android, we have iOS, we have mobile apps, and what we have shipping in Visual Studio 2015 is Xamarin Starter Edition. And it's a version of the Xamarin Starter Edition that has support for Visual Studio, right?
And what is Xamarin for those of us that might be new to it in the audience?
Xamarin is a plugin of Visual Studio that gives you the ability to build Windows, iOS, and Android applications. And you can create the code as a single layer stored in a portable class library. So you write your code once and then share it across applications, Windows, iOS, Android.
And
it supports
about
XAML
C-sharp.
Applications, XAML, C-sharp for the portable class library, XAML for the Windows and Windows Phone applications. And then you write your iOS and Android applications. You can write the UI in Xcode if it's an iOS app. You can write the UI in XML for the Android app if you want to do it all from inside Visual Studio. But the nice thing is the Starter Edition ships inside Visual Studio, gives you the ability to test applications, to build. There's a limit in terms of the size of the application, 128K.
Right. It's a starter.
It's
edition.
A starter.
Yeah.
But you could actually put apps in the store. So if you write fairly simple apps, you can submit them to the various stores. Just makes it easier to get started with and start playing around with Xamarin. And then when you go into production, then you'd trade up for one of the for the business edition or something with more power.
Yeah, for folks that need to build that kind of cross-platform app and they want to use C#, this is a great investment. I always tell folks, check it out. Xamarin is very cool.
Yep. All right, those are mine.
Awesome. So we'll be right back and we'll switch
right
over
anywhere.
To me, right?
We're not going anywhere.
No editing? I've been spoiled.
No editing.
I've been in the studio, folks, for like weeks editing stuff. I have done magic.
I don't like editing.
Has anybody watched the keynote out there?
I only edit if we make egregious mistakes.
Egregious?
Or if we say something stupid. So far, neither of those has happened.
So far. There's always hope for the future. All right. So we're going to go through a bunch of demos. Hopefully, they will all go super smooth. Excuse me, I was hitting run on one of my main desktops. So I'm running Windows, there's my cat as usual. I'm running Windows 10 on my machine, and what I'll tell you is I love the multiple desktop thing. Mm-hmm. For presentations, that's great. We ran into some issues setting up, so it wasn't as great for other purposes, but that's fine. So I'm gonna go ahead and switch to desktop one here. Make sure it's there, yeah. And I'm going to take a look at my first top feature. So the first thing I want to talk about is ASP.NET 5. Even though it is only a beta in this release, I think ASP.NET 5 is really awesome with what it's going to do for the future. The fact that it's going to run on cross-plat, Linux, mm-hmm. Mac as a deployment target, so you have all sorts of like non-platform dependencies. You know, a lot of people have complained over time, hey, I'm going to choose .NET, but that means I'm stuck on Windows and in my organization, or for whatever reason, that's a problem. We're hoping that this problem gets a little bit easier. But let's go ahead and start Visual Studio up fresh. And
or it was tied to the .NET framework, so to run an ASP.NET app, your runtime included a whole bunch of things that you didn't necessarily need.
And the runtime was at the machine level, right. And there was all sorts of problems. There's plenty of great videos out there that will help folks get through it.
Built on the .NET core, which is the minimum you need to run .NET anywhere. Yeah.
Or it runs on the regular framework. So if you still have the framework dependency, you can certainly do that. And today, that's the way you would run it. So I'm going to go to File, New Project, and just point out a couple of things here. For folks that are new and are saying to themselves, hey, all right, I want to get into C# and I want to build an ASP.NET 5 app, the way you get there is you go to the web in your language of choice, let's say C#, and you pick ASP.NET web application. You don't have to worry as much about the framework selector there, but when you get into this view, this is where the difference becomes available to you. So here you have the ability to create a project template that's based on ASP.NET 5 preview, and that is going to run that beta 5 and future betas and other things as well. Or you can build the traditional RTM supported 4.5.2 ASP.NET application. It's also worth saying that we've collapsed everything into one runtime, so there's no more different runtimes for like MVC and Web API. It's just one runtime now. This project template gives you a little bit of kind of a getting started experience, but you're not limited once you kind of hit File, New Project, and you create it. So I'm going to go ahead and just cancel this out because I actually have an existing project that I want to show you guys. And the existing project is going to be the PrepOps app. So what is the PrepOps app, Dimitri? The PrepOps app is an application that we have open sourced and built for the Humanitarian Toolbox folks. And this was something we did for RTM. Mm-hmm. It was why I spent a lot of time in the studio. We had a 3-day hackathon. We had a bunch of Microsoft engineers build an app that we hope the nonprofit world can use in the future. This show isn't about that, but I wanted to just give you the context. That's where I got this code. And it's all open source, so we'll put a link in the show notes so people can take a look. What's cool about ASP.NET 5 is it gives you quite a bit in just the very basic fundamental experience of just how the solution is structured. I think it's very, very nice now. An improvement certainly over the way it was. You've got a WW root that makes it very easy to see a lot of the static elements of your application. It has a brand new references experience. It has the ability to show you references grouped in a way that before this was kind of overwhelming to see which packages it dependent on and such. So kind of very, very nice experiences there. And there's a whole brand new NuGet package manager experience. I mean, we can just go on and on to try to explain it. But one of the biggest highlights that I wanted to show is that now we've included both Bower and NPM as part of the Visual Studio experience. And this allows folks to use these popular tools that are command line tools as part of the Visual Studio, never leave to the command prompt if you don't want to kind of experience, mm-hmm. and still take advantage over the ability to run tasks against these various libraries, minification. I mean, it's, again, no way to do justice in a couple of minutes, but think of ASP.NET 5 as that container for all that good stuff, right? So you have a lot of kind of words that are being thrown at you, and as you learn about them, you might create a traditional project and be like, where's Bower? I thought you included Bower. Well, you have to go to ASP.NET 5. So that's very cool. Now, another thing that I want to show in regards to it is you've got quite a bit. Let me go into properties here. You've got a bunch of more options now under properties in your project, and that is to select the type of framework that you're going to target. So eventually, this will allow you to go in and switch to .NET Core. So for now, mm-hmm. you're going to be running against the .NET full framework. but because this is a beta, you know, like there's multiple components, right? There's the ASP.NET, there's the tooling, and then there's the .NET core. And those are all being built in parallel. The tooling's been RTM'd, the framework is beta 5, and the core that runs cross-platform is still being developed. It's kind of in an earlier state, okay. But we hope end of year kind of everything catches up. So ASP.NET 5 is really awesome. They're improving performance quite a bit. They're working on making this fully integrated at RTM with a lot of the experiences we already are associating with ASP.NET. Like, you know, we talk about application insights, making sure that's integrated, the full debugging, IntelliTrace, lots of things that don't work today will work at RTM. So there's an awesome story there. I wish we were further along because I'm super excited to play with it. But
yeah.
Folks can start today. And some crazy people are running it in production, but I don't recommend that. You can always be crazy in life.
Well, it
right?
gives you time to investigate it and learn about it, while also being able to continue building your existing apps.
Yes.
And you could even create brand new ones with the new model. You kind of get to decide.
Yes, for sure.
How quickly and when you want to adopt this.
Cool. So the other top feature that I want to talk about outside of ASP.NET is a lot of the Roslyn capabilities that are now added into Visual Studio IDE for managed languages and other things. So let me give you guys some examples of what that's like. The first thing I want to show is, I'll give you an example. Let's open up this Bower. So you have the ability in ASP.NET 5 to configure your dependencies using JSON files. In fact, that's the way it works, right? So now we have, as one of the new features, a fully fledged IntelliSense-enabled JSON editor. So it's very powerful. But one of the things I want to show is that you're going to start seeing little light bulbs in your application all over the place. Here's one of these light bulbs inside of a JSON file. At the same time, let me go ahead and open up just any C# file to show you that that experience is going to be very similar. Let me give you something with unused. Second.
The one you had open.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, don't close what you're doing. No, I know where it is. Okay. Here, the sample data. So we've got things like this. I think I already cleaned it up. That's why. That's probably why it's being so nice. I'm sure we have one that's not as nice.
What was the first folks. One you had open?
Yeah, but I think I cleaned it up and saved it. So. Yeah. Here it
there
is.
It
here,
is.
Here's one example. So now you're getting a light bulb inside of your C#. So these light bulbs are basically quick actions. So whenever we talk about, hey, use the quick action to do something, that's light bulb experience. And the quick actions are very cool because they allow Roslyn, which is the underlying platform, to enable UI experiences in Visual Studio that are much richer and much more hands-on to your code, right? So instead of this being theoretical, this is the compiler. So it knows whatever it's telling you is really true. These really are usings that we can clean up. They're not being used. This really is the change it's going to do. Yes, it will build after this change. So there's a bunch of guarantees that come up, not to mention a nicer UI experiences with the ability to commit things at the document project solution levels and get all the previews. So in this case, you got this sort of experience.
Control dot is the keyboard shortcut.
Yeah.
And then control dot enter brings it up and executes it at the same time.
Yeah, and then if you go back to what I wanted to demonstrate here in this file, so here we've actually got the ability to like open the homepage of Knockout. So in some cases you'll get like update is available. Hey, update this this component of your app. So you as a developer can extend this also any way you want. So developers can come in and say, hey, we want to take our own sort of pane and create a quick view that solves it for our development team, and you can package it up in a NuGet package and ship it out. So it's a very, very cool experience. So I think Roslyn's kind of quick actions are super powerful. At the same time, as a third feature that I really love, it's the debugging experience, the perf tips that we've added. So I'm going to close out all these windows. Yeah, man, you can do it. My machine is like going slow. I'm running multiple versions of Visual Studios, emulators, a lot to show you guys. So I'm going to go to sample data here, and I'm going to put a couple of breakpoints. I know this runs every single time. So I'm going to put some breakpoints at different parts of the app here. And I'm going to go ahead and set the startup to be the web project. Set a startup and run this. So what I'm about to show you is how we've taken the normal debug experience, the out of the box. Like what I'm about to show you is not something you have to go enable. Like it's enabled for you if you have 2015. So here's a bunch of experiences that make, I think, your debugging experience richer out of the box. Now, if you decide to turn them off, there are option switches to do so. You might say, Dimitri, that was great, but I think it does X, Y, Z, and I don't like it. Turn it off. We do give you that option. So let's go back to VS and show you what's going to happen here. So first of all, I'm going to mention very briefly that now there's quite a bit. Since I have Enterprise, I have IntelliTrace running, so I can see events happening. And just because I'm using Visual Studio, I've got process and CPU utilization. This is all now running out of the box. That means when I'm debugging against ASP.NET, I can now see how my CPU is performing, memory, and against the same timeline. So you can correlate a particular event to a particular CPU spike and be like, oh, that's why that took a long time, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. So lots of, you've done a ton of shows on this and lots of great, great things. But one of my favorite features, just because it's so damn easy and so damn valuable, is when I go to like the next breakpoint. So now that I've gone between breakpoints, I will get an indicator of elapsed time.
Yep.
So this is something called perf tips, and it's super awesome. I mean, how many times have I put a timer or something in my code? You've done it. I've done it.
Another thing that you've put in the code.
Another thing that you hope isn't now the thing.
Right.
Oh, did you clean it up? Have you ever left one of those timers in?
Of course.
I might have.
Of course.
I'm not going to admit where, though. I'm a good developer, unlike you. I would never do that. So I think that's very awesome. So those are just some of my tips in terms of, you know, the Roslyn and the perf tips. And the final sort of like managed code tip that I'm going to give before we move on to other things is the fact that CodeLens is now in Pro.
Yes.
So CodeLens, we've done shows, a ton of shows about it. But here is a real project. This project is connected to Visual Studio Online, where me and the team, we said that we worked in it for a bunch of days. And therefore, we have history in our Git repository in Visual Studio Online. So I'm able to go in, and I'm going to go and show you guys what that looks like and how that's been actually quite helpful in the real project. And we are certainly not making this up. So for this one, I will show under View Models, I will show Task View Model. The reason why is because there's a bunch of changes from different people here. So CodeLens, take a step back. CodeLens is your sort of around the class or around the method indicator or on the file level in certain places, where it shows you additional information that's coming mostly from TFS or Visual Studio Online.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a certain version of TFS on premises, or you have to be on VSO. One thing that comes out of the box is references. So it just knows, hey, these are the things that are referencing your item. But since I'm connected to Visual Studio Online, I can actually go ahead and see that a bunch of my teammates were working on this project. And I can see when they had activity, who they are. I can go ahead and take a look at the offers and the changes that they made and the comments they put in. And this was really helpful. Let me explain why. So we brought together three or four different like product teams of engineers that didn't work together normally to build an app.
Mm-hmm.
So you had multiple days where people were like, you're Dimitri, right? You know, people didn't know who each other were, but as they were working in code, they would often share a certain class and one person work on it and another person would come in because they realized, oh, I need to add something. And they didn't know who worked in it. You know, maybe in a real team where it's not like a hackathon mm-hmm. environment, you kind of know who's working and what. But when you have a large team, a distributed team, or a new team, or you're coming to legacy code, you know, this is super useful.
Yep.
And we're making it available in Pro. So as much as
very cool.
I can demo the heck out of this feature, I think the biggest thing is that developers that get Pro now get it, and I hope, you know, they find it really useful.
Which means that it's in community?
No.
Okay.
It is not in community.
It's in Pro.
Yes,
not
it's
community.
In Pro.
Okay.
So you have to buy Pro or above. And you could buy Pro standalone, Visual Studio Online, or you can buy, you know, some higher end SKU. We certainly hope people check out Enterprise.
Okay.
Now, the next demo that I'm going to do out of the same solution is I'm going to show an Apache Cordova app very briefly. This is something that I'm really proud of that we were able to get into the app. Our particular scenario was that we needed to build an app that like volunteers in the community could use across any device they happen to have. And think of it as a very simplistic app, like, hey, I'm a volunteer, what tasks do I have? Hey, I'm a volunteer, what can I volunteer for? So it's basically managing your task list kind of thing, but connected to the cloud and from a nonprofit organization sending you things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we needed this thing to work on any kind of device, Android, iOS, Windows. And the app itself isn't like a super high-performing game or something you'd be, you know, striving to be native for. It's not the next Twitter. Apache Cordova wound up being a great technology. Plus, our team happened to have heavily come from .NET and ASP.NET teams, so they were web developers, a lot of these folks. So they were able to jump in and build the app. So Apache Cordova is built in to Visual Studio 2015, and it allows you to build these cross-platform apps. Let me show you what that looks like. So we used Angular in our particular case. It supports TypeScript, it supports native JavaScript, so all the logic of the application was built in JavaScript, and then all the views of the application are going to be built in HTML. So here is an example of a view. It is just pretty much pure writing a website. So Well, we have Xamarin, like you said earlier, if you want to stay managed. I'll admit I'm a managed developer, I'm a C# person. I would levitate towards Xamarin if I was building a project based on my skill set, but based on the turnaround time that we were able to do this, I was extremely impressed, and the team has done great. So we have the capability here, and as part of it, we are shipping Android Emulator, of course, in this release, in the RTM state. So let me show what this app looks like when I run it and deploy it to the Android Emulator. We'll just give it a second. The app's already running, but I do want to show something specific, so let it start up. And we'll show a couple of things. While it's starting up, let me tell you some of the other really cool features of Apache Cordova. First of all, you can build for all three platforms. Second of all, you can debug against all three platforms. You can attach to Android emulator of any kind that you choose, not just ours. You can use Ripple. You can attach to a physical device. If you have an iOS machine, you can put our build agent on that machine and remote debug against an iOS device emulator or physical tethered device. Right. So it gives you the full gamut of capability. For my purposes, this is something I really was doing as part of our little project where we'd be running the app and I would be hitting breakpoints. I mean, this stuff is real, it works. There's a breakpoint coming in. If Dimitri's demo did not fail. Dimitri's demos never fail. Did I have to click on it?
There
sorry.
It is.
Sorry, there you go.
You just need to be patient.
Yeah, I just need to actually click on what I had to click on. And you can inspect variables, you can step in, step out of. So all the stuff that you think about as a Visual Studio developer, all the web tooling, auto completion, support for Bootstrap and Angular, all that stuff just kind of works out of the box.
Excellent.
That is very cool. And for my last demo, I'll save certainly not the last as a thing that I love, but something that is being demoed last. Is I think I closed it. Let's open it up here. I'm going to talk about Python, and let me start by saying that we have a ton of languages that we support now in Visual Studio. We've got Node.js, we've got Python, we've got F#, C#, VB, lots of things. Our community has done incredible work. So there's one company that has PHP for Visual Studio. They just released their 2015 extension.
Cool.
You know, go look for that in the gallery. So some very cool stuff. But just because I work a lot with the Python team as one of my teams, I will show off the Python experience. So the Python experience is an extension that you install. It's something we build, we support. And the extension is going to be under Python, and it's going to be available right here in File New Project. So for those that know Python, you've got a lot of the favorite kind of the way people build web projects in the Python community includes the Django, Flask. So we have templates for that getting started out of the box. We also support opening any kind of existing projects. We support just writing Python scripts. We have all the interactive debugger things that people are used to in the Python community. I would say, when I show this to Python developers, and I've done a lot of that at PyCon and other venues, the biggest hurdle for them is just getting a Windows machine. Man, I wish I had a free Windows. Here's your free Windows machine. But the tooling goes well above beyond, I think, what anything else available in the community. And the community can don't kill me. They'll be like, no, we have better tools. I'm biased. Remember, I get a paycheck. But no, truly, I believe
full
in this.
Featured editor, the debugger, the IntelliSense.
Exactly. So here I have an app. And I'm going to use quotes when I say app. Actually, just let me hit a file new. Sorry, folks. For some reason, I closed it originally, but that's fine. It wasn't that advanced, but I will go ahead and I'll say, well, let me create a Django project, and it's going to spin up with the Django template for me in a second here. So here it's going to do something which is a standard Python thing. It needs an environment, some kind of Python version to run against, and I'm going to say install into the 3.4 environment. I don't need source control for this. It's not real. The thing that I want to show here is that this is fully fully the Visual Studio experience that you know and love. It is the same editor. It supports all the colorization in IntelliSense. Yeah. It supports all the breakpoints, debugging. It also works the way that you would expect something to work from a perspective of the way Python works, right? So under Python environments, you have a certain version of Python that you can target, then you use pip to actually install. So here you can install Python packages and just give the package name. Again, this is Python stuff, but the team really has made it so that's super, super awesome for Python developers. And our Node team is the same. Our other managed languages teams, like, you know, F#, so lots of awesome stuff. Cool. This release is huge.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
All right.
So those are my top five.
All right, I don't want to be the only one whose demo didn't work, so I'm going to steal this back because I...
You're gonna do another demo? Is that what it is?
No, I'm gonna finish the demo that I got lost on.
All right.
The stuff I was looking for, what I wanted to do was change this on the fly, and I couldn't find where it is.
You found it?
Yeah, it's under data context.
There you go.
So, I can change this to 2000, and
bam, 2000.
And I can do that, right?
Yeah, it showed. It's there, the first one.
Oh, there it is. It's under build amount. I'm looking.
Yeah,
right,
you were looking at the charge. Oh. You were like, I almost fixed my demo.
Yeah, so we can do that. We can also change.
Oh, look, it's automatically
like
growing.
The merchant name.
So it's like you've your feature actually works.
The Northwind Inn presented by the Microsoft Cloud. The Northwind Inn sold its naming rights. So. Okay, so that's what I wanted to show. So it works perfectly, and I just forgot where it was.
Happens. We have a lot of things to demo. That's really
so,
awesome.
So those are some of our favorite features, five things that we just wanted to make sure that everybody knew was in the product. This, you know, again, these aren't necessarily my top five features and your top five features, but a lot of demos out there, a lot of talks. These are just five things that I wanted to make sure everybody knew about, five things you wanted to make sure everybody knew about. There's tons more in this product. People should go check out the videos.
Yeah, we'll put the links in the show notes.
Yep.
We have a lot of things from the build event and from the event we just did for the release.
Yep.
So
talks at upcoming conferences, additional episodes of this show, among others. Huge release. Gladys out the door. Now it's time to start building the next one.
The next one is already being built.
So now
it's always like that now. It is
so
crazy.
So now 2015 is the previous version. And then
not quite, but it's
the team
starts working
on the
direction.
Next version.
Yeah.
Yes.
The stuff we have coming, you know, every time I say it, every time, just it's an incredible amount of things that we have in the pipeline. Yeah. I see this is still a very exciting year. The show isn't over. Let's just say
That's just right. Just
this episode's over.
Yes, it is.
The battle has been won, but the war. There's a lot of analogies that could work here.
So hope you enjoyed that. Hope you saw a lot that you liked. Definitely go to Channel 9. Watch the videos from yesterday, from the RTM event. And we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Take care.